Lord, we just sang about your blessings are all over our life, and then we don't need to fear. Yet Isaiah teaches us on, you know, getting out of the boat. And Lord, you know, I have to confess, yeah, I pray for your blessing. I pray for your protection. Help us to pray to get out of the boat too. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. If you would turn to your, there's a outline on your seat, and it has scriptures to it. We're looking at how to be a blessing. Oh, and when we talk about evangelism, sharing our faith, it gives us as Christians, you know, the ice water in our veins, like, oh, I don't know what to say. What if they ask me the tough questions? There was a revival that went on down in South America. It was an incredible revival. A lot of people coming forward, accepting Christ, a prayer, miracles, and it stretched. Some people think, oh, did that really happen? And they actually researched and found out it did. One of the miracles that God was doing was people who had cavities, and remember, this is South America where you just can't go to the dentist. People who had cavities had their cavities filled in with this really weird white kind of substance. Like, whoa. I mean, it was documented. And so researchers, like about 5 years later, went down to South America to see, now what were the results? I mean, it was a tremendous move of the Spirit. And so they began going through the... Yeah, they did that too. okay, whatever. So they began going through South America to find out what happened. And they couldn't find virtually any converts that traced their spiritual roots back to that revival. I mean, how discouraging. Like, was everybody shallow ground? Was everybody just receiving the word with joy, but they didn't stay with Jesus? So they kept researching, and when they got out into the country, into like the mountain villages, they found all kinds of people. Said, oh, yeah, I came to Christ during that revival. And it's like, is it because city folk aren't as good as country folk? What they found was is that in the cities, when just thousands of people came to Christ, they didn't get welcomed in. It was too much, too many. But when they would go back home to their mountain village and say, I received Christ, the local Christians enveloped them, surrounded them, loved them. It's relationship that brings us to Christ. It's relationship that keeps us in Christ. Look at these stats here. How do most people come to Christ? 2% come to Christ by being visited. Only 2% of Christians. That's 2 out of 100. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they go knocking on doors. It's not very effective. One church that was growing did have a visitation program, and they were out in the country, and all the farmland around them was being bought and turned into developments. And they made a commitment that we will visit every new home by the time they move in. Nobody came, and yet their church was growing. I think the reason why it was growing was is because if you knock on doors, you get a little more bolder, you're stepping out, and then you share with your friends. It was friends who were coming to Christ, but not the people who were moving in. 3% come from a special need. Like, you know, maybe they want to get married, or there's a funeral, or they're going through a life crisis. They come, but only 3% come because of a need on their own. 3% come from a church program, like, hey, it's Easter, maybe I should go, or vacation Bible school. You don't have to have a friend. You're going to take care of my kids for a week? I'm in, you know, and they'll drop their kids off. 5% just walk into church. Just, hey, you know, I might check it out. Some of you remember Melody, who led our youth group for years. She just said, well, that looks like a cute church. That was God. Nobody invited her, and it does happen, but not very often. 5% come because of a small group or Sunday school. Sherry, you just invited people to Sunday school. But how many people just show up at a Bible study or a Sunday school if they haven't gotten personally invited? Now we're talking. 5.5% come through the pastor. Being honest here, we are half as effective as you all. Because see, when I invite somebody to church, oh yeah, well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to do that.
When I talk to somebody about Jesus, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to do that. You know, I can't really relate to you. You're special. Oh, help us, Lord. And as I try to share with every contractor that comes, and one guy was a Christian, he says, you know, you're the only pastor who's ever shared Jesus with me. Lord, forgive us. We got to get open. Now, you ready? Mass evangelism, like what Billy Graham did. Billy Graham spoke to like 200 million people during his lifetime, like in his crusades. Half the world, they believe. How many people come to Christ because of an evangelistic crusade? You ready? 0.001. That's one out of 100,000. Now, Billy Graham's organization works hard at this. If you come forward to receive Christ, they find out where you live. They try to connect you to a church near you. And they say only 5 to 6% of the people who make a profession of faith ever get connected to a church. So how do most people come to Christ? 70 to 90% through people like you, friends and relatives. Now, yeah, God can use the church, he can use the pastor, he can use an evangelistic crusade, but it takes a Christian to say, hey, come with me. Amen? It's grassroots. So how can we become better friends? Well, that's why we're here. Let's stand up and read the word, how Jesus called the friend of sinners, how he did ministry. This is from Luke chapter 15. And we're looking at bless. B, begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat. One of our favorites, right? Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully, not regretfully, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. Read verse 7 out loud with me. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you were attacked as a friend of sinners because you ate and you drank with them. And you tell us you did it on purpose. It wasn't by accident. Lord, you give us communion, which is you eating with us. And you want to have fellowship with every single solitary person. Lord, everyone, the ones that are on death row, the Russian soldiers that are invading, the Ukrainian civilians that are scared. Lord, you want to eat with Putin, with President Biden. It says in Revelation, you stand at the door to knock, and if we open the door, you will come in and fellowship, you will eat with us. Lord, help us to receive that, to let that soak in, that you want to eat with us, and you want to eat with our neighbors, and our bosses, and coworkers, and family, and friends. And you've already started the conversation in their heart. You've sent out the Spirit. You've written the law on their conscience. Help us get involved in this conversation, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's do it if you're comfortable. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I'll read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And give each other, you know, a holy side hug or fellowship fist bump, something. Amen. A saintly shoulder hug. Why did Jesus eat with sinners? Now, let's do bless for a second. See if you can do it with me. It's B, begin with prayer, L, listen, E, eat, S, serve, and the second S, share, or share your story, but we'll just say share. Ready? B, begin with prayer, L, listen, E, eat, S, serve, and second S, share. I thought in getting this book, okay, eat is probably their weakest of the five things. You know, they had to come up with an E somehow. So, okay, let's do eat. That's not it at all. Jesus is saying, I value people, so I eat with them. How can we say, Jesus loves you, but don't come into my living room? Jesus counts the hairs on your head, but I don't notice if you got a haircut. Right? I mean, he did it on purpose. And it was part of his ministry. Turn the page. It was part of his ministry. It wasn't by accident. So I began meditating on what does the Bible have to say on eating? I mean, we do it three times a day, right? For most of our life, right? So maybe, is there anything in the Bible about it? Yeah, it's all over. The first thing that God tells us is be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply. And what? And every green thing is yours to eat. He begins the Bible talking about eating. Do you know you have 10,000 taste buds? He didn't have to do that. Some of us wish we didn't have all of those taste buds. A dog only has 1,700. Poor things. You know, like you give them a nice piece of steak. What do they do with it? It's like, you didn't even enjoy it. Well, they only have 1,700 taste buds. We got 10,000. Hallelujah. Isaac gave his blessing at a meal. The highlight of the week in the Old Testament was the Sabbath meal. The highlight of the year were the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Blessings were to be shared at the family table. That's eating. God's blessing is to enjoy your food and your work, Ecclesiastes 5. Communion is a meal. It's a bread and a cup, Jesus' body and blood. The early church ate in each other's homes, having favor with all the people. Acts chapter 2. Heaven is described as a feast, the feast of Abraham, and a wedding banquet, the wedding banquet of Jesus. Heaven's trees have delicious fruit that are always in season, Revelation 22. Jesus promises to eat with us and serve us. He said, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you anew in the kingdom. God begins and ends the Bible with a meal. Huh, there's something going on here. Now, I believe because we're made in the image of God, if we see something in Scripture, then if we begin to meditate, we can see it in all of life. When do people eat? Okay, they eat first thing in the morning and later in the evening, and we as Americans also snack all the way in between, right? When it's a birthday, what do? Eat. When it's a wedding, what do? Eat. When it's a funeral, what do? We even eat at funerals, goodness sakes. What's going on? We eat at every major holiday. I mean, Thanksgiving, what do? Eat. Christmas, eat. Easter, eat. Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, barbecue, hamburgers, hot dogs, are you with me? In life's highs and lows, what do? We eat. God says, be blessed, have at it, enjoy. Jesus knew that. One of you, this is some years ago, you had a teacher, one of the teachers of your kids really said some things that were very anti-Christian, very anti-scripture. And so you had your child invite that teacher to your home for a meal. Good job. Good job. So now let's look about Jesus and meals. How many meals did Jesus, do we know that he ate? Well, we know that he ate 2-3 times a day, okay, for his whole life. But what are the meals that we know about? This is amazing. Well, after the 40-day fast, it says he became hungry. So that's an implication. He ate after the meal. He ate at the wedding feast. Not only did he eat at the wedding feast, he made wine to drink at the wedding feast. The disciples were rubbing heads of grain on the Sabbath as they walked by a grain field, and he defended them for it. At Matthew's party, he ate with tax collectors and sinners and told the Pharisees, I came for people like this. You know, I'm doing this on purpose. He was anointed by a prostitute at Simon the Pharisee's dinner, and that's where he said, whoever's forgiven much loves much. He feeds the 5,000 and later the 4,000 with bread and fish, and it says they were satisfied. They enjoyed it. At Martha and Mary's house is where he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried over many things. That was at a meal. At a Pharisee's house, he didn't wash his hands, and they were watching him closely, and he says, woe to you, you don't wash your hearts. At another Pharisee's house, it's a Sabbath, and they're watching him. A man has dropsy, it would probably congestive heart failure, a lot of liquid, and he heals him, and he says, wouldn't you do that for a sheep? And he said, you need to invite the poor, and tell us about the parable of the future wedding banquet. The parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son are when Jesus was eating with sinners, Luke 15. He went to the yearly feast of Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and dedication of the temple. He said to Zacchaeus, I must come to your house, probably for a meal. And that's where he said, I've come to seek and to save what's lost. At Lazarus' funeral, they ate, John 11. Dinner at Simon the leper's house. This is just a week before he gets crucified. Mary anoints him at a meal. When Jesus is hungry, he goes to the fig tree looking for figs, and all he gets is leaves. The Last Supper, my body and blood, he says. He washes feet. He says, I'm the way, I'm the vine, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. All that was in a meal. He breaks bread with the two disciples going to Emmaus after the resurrection. He eats fish with the disciples to show that he's not a ghost. He goes through the walls, and then he says, hey, do you have any fish? I'll show you I'm not a ghost. So neat. He prepares a shoreside breakfast and restores Peter at a meal. So he calls the disciples to be with him. They were with him for at least 2 years. That's over 2,100 meals. Maybe Jesus knew what he was doing, huh? So how did Jesus use the meal? Think about it. He blessed. He used the B-L-E-S-S. He blessed. He blessed the fish and the loaves. He blessed the cup when he lifted it up. He blessed the bread when he lifted it up. He blessed the people. So neat. He blessed, made more wine. He listened. During meals, he would say, what were you talking about? Or what are you thinking in your heart? Or he would observe, why are you criticizing Mary? She's done a beautiful thing to me. And he ate. Now, I think that he really did eat. This is terrible. No, it's good. It's very good. He ate and he enjoyed it. He was called a what? A drunkard and a glutton. I mean, I just don't think he said, okay, I'll just do this perfunctory and just nibble at stuff. Because my main thing is to win people. No, my main thing is to win people. And he also says to his disciples, which is really tough, he says, and when you go and share the gospel, you eat whatever they put before you. When you go on a trip to Haiti or something, that's tough. But it shows love, doesn't it? He served. He washed feet at a meal. He healed at a meal. And he shared. I mean, he shared. Now I was kind of in meditating on this. Jesus rebuked at meals too. I mean, he said some tough stuff. So I'm not encouraging you to invite your neighbor over for a meal and then halfway through say, well, you know, there's always something I've been wanting to talk to you about. When he confronted the Pharisees, it was after basically 2 years of ministry. Okay, there had been a little bit of a background there. And it also seems like when the Pharisees invited him for a meal, it wasn't really friendly. They were looking to trap him. So is eating with others and sinners just for Jesus? No, look at Acts chapter 2. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Where? In their homes. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You see, we have concepts which are true. They're just not full. Okay, we are Christians. We are persecuted. The gospel is hated. Not many are called, but few are chosen. It's never going to work, but there's times where God breaks through. Amen? There's times when God breaks through. And here it looks like these Christians were meeting in a home, and they were also sharing their meals with glad and they were happy about it, and then they were giving to those who were in need, and I bet you non-Christians were coming to those meals. Began this series talking about Larry Stockstill from Bethany Cell Church down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and how he went to the governor. Governor's thinking, okay, what do you want, pastor of a mega church? And he says, I just came in. What do you need to pray? How can I pray for you? Their church took off when they started having life groups in neighborhoods, and they would actually put a sign up in the yard and said, a life group meets here. And they would say, mow people's yards, like people who are elderly, or get groceries for somebody who maybe has had surgery and can't go. Become a blessing to the people around you. Is that neat? I think that's what was happening here. In Acts chapter 11, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Listen to what they said. You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Peter, you bet. You bet. So, in fact, we're commanded to eat with others, and we're promised reward. Matthew chapter 10. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. Romans chapter 12, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I looked up the word hospitality in the Greek. It's really neat. It's two words. It means delightful lodging. Delightful lodging. They're doing this right now, and like when there's an open house, they will cook or bake chocolate chip cookies. So when you open that door to look at that home, it's like, delightful, huh? It's what we're to be. How beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news. And Hebrews 13, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So what can we do? I wasn't planning on this. But Vince, let's see, and Mark, could you go into my office? There are two big trays of cookies. Okay. See, that's it. See that? Yeah, that, just like Jesus. And there might be some, yeah, tongs there too. You know, I really felt bad eating that in front of you. But not that bad. Huh. Something happens when you're at a meal, right? Let's look at, what can we do? Let's acknowledge eating blesses people. In our culture, hospitality is an extravagant gesture of goodwill. It's a huge common denominator. It breaks down barriers. Food breaks down barriers. Say it with me. Food breaks down barriers. Okay. I'm a geek. You're an athlete. What do we have in common? Woo-hoo-hoo. Cookies. You're smart. I'm dumb. What do we have in common? Food. You're a Republican. I'm a Democrat. We still like cake, right? Come on. Let's look at what we can agree on or enjoy together. Eating helps us to listen, serve, and share. Kids that turn out well come from homes that at least eat one meal together a day. Please, parents, I know with all the schedules and the conflicts, make it so you eat together. Mark, thank you. So, if you just begin serving, take one cookie, maybe two. Now, don't you feel blessed today? Don't you feel blessed? Don't you feel blessed already? I mean, oh, God loves us. That's one thing I feel bad about with communion. I mean, when we do communion, there's that little wafer. I mean, would you buy that if they sold it in the stores? No, it's like styrofoam. And it's just that little cup. That is not how Jesus did communion. Do you know that? It was a big chunk of bread, a loaf, that he broke. And he had a big cup of wine that they passed around. Now, did I tell you guys could start eating? I don't remember that. Goodness sakes. Lord, thank you for these cookies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Go ahead and try not to get too crummy. So first, acknowledge eating is good. Eating blesses people. Second, affirm Jesus commands us to share our food and promises us great rewards. I have no idea. Are there peanuts in there? But you might not be able to eat anything that's even been close to a peanut. We have a banana and oranges and apples in the back. Is that good? Sorry. Oh. And third, believe that it works. It worked for Jesus. It worked for the early church. It can work for us. We could change the world by just eating with one person for one family week. Look at you guys just enjoying those cookies. Woo! Macadamia nuts, is that what that was? Or white chocolate? So let's get practical. Turn the page. Last page here. Let's take some practical steps. And I'm encouraging you to try this to April 30th. That gives you 5 weeks. You know, they say it takes about 30 days to get a habit going. I think one of the problems is in church is that we hear these things, oh, yeah, that's great, but, oh, it's so overwhelming. Am I supposed to do this the rest of my life? Well, yeah, you are, but don't think about the rest of your life. Just think about the next 30 days. Just think about this next month. You could take cookies, snacks, a meal, on birthdays, sickness, death, celebrations, special occasions, a crisis. Can you imagine if you went to work tomorrow or maybe on Friday when it's more celebratory and you bought a tray of those cookies and you just took them to work and set them down? What would that do to the atmosphere at your work? Huh? You know, those Christians aren't half bad. Take the free bread. I mean, oh, what a blessing. Now for me, I do this every week, and I've gotten to pray with my neighbors as a result. I mean, not right off. Just, do you want some? And I'll tell you what, it's sometimes tough to give bread. It's like, are you saying I'm poor? No, they're going to destroy it. We're just trying to give it away. And now I find, oh, this person likes rye bread. You know, this person likes oat nut. And I try to get what they like. What is that doing? It's showing love and value. Hallelujah. Relate to others at work through food, a coffee break, lunch. You're there already. Try to start maybe, I'd like to eat by myself. Okay, well, at least maybe once a week, try to eat with another person. This is probably the higher level. Go out to eat. Have coffee. Order in. Invite over. And highest level probably, get a regular schedule that once a week or once a month we'll have somebody over or I'll go out to eat with somebody. Now, number 5, deal with the stumbling blocks. I don't like having people over. I don't even like my own food. Okay. Order out. Go out. You can get around that. The second, I don't know what to say. Okay. Here's some questions. Ask people questions. People like talking about themselves. Where'd you grow up? Where do you work? What jobs have you had? How about your family? How'd you meet? Kids, parents, fun. What do you do for fun? Hobbies, vacations, sports. Eventually, you get to go deeper. What are your dreams for the future? Problems, frustrations. We move from basically talking about things to ideas to feelings. Don't rush it. And if you meet regularly, you can ask them about highs, lows, buffaloes. Since you met last week, you know what a high, low, buffalo is. So since we met last, any highs? Since we met last, any lows? Since we met last, any buffaloes? Anything that was a surprise to you. So with that cookie sweetness in your mouth, I want you to turn to your neighbor and just say, any highs, lows, buffaloes. I'm going to turn this off for a second and just share either a high or a low or a buffalo with one of your neighbors. Oh, that was a high. Yeah. Some people's lows or others' highs. That's good. We need to learn how to just talk with and just listen. And then if you might think, well, I don't have the time. Well, okay. Use what you already do. Most of us eat 20 times a week. Include a friend once a week or a bi-weekly or monthly in what you're already doing, especially like work lunch. Now, in my Bible listening this morning, they talked about, Jesus said, you know, the foolish builder builds a house on the sand. The wise builder builds it on the rock. Flood's going to come to both houses. Hard times are going to come to both houses. It's what you're built upon. Isaiah said Peter was walking not just on the water, but on God's word. Jesus had come. Now, let me think. Let me just tell you. When you base your life on your excuses, what are you building your life on? Sand. That's dumb. But okay, God's word says it. I don't like it, but I'm going to try it. What are you basing your life on? Rock. God's word. And then number 6, ask Jesus to give us his heart for lost sheep. Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all. Romans 5, we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. That needs to be on our heart. How can we say God loves people while we try to keep them at arm's length? And food is a way to shorten the distance. In the Blessed book, they share the story that actually went viral of a lady named Jan. It was Thanksgiving Day, and Jan went to a McDonald's to have breakfast. And as she's eating her breakfast, she saw a young black man come in the baggy pants and the flat-brimmed baseball cap. And she got up and said, could we enjoy our breakfast together? And the black man named Eric said, okay, kind of reluctantly. So she went, grabbed her tray, he got a chair, and they sat and talked for 45 minutes. And Eric said, she said things like, we got to love each other. We shouldn't be judging each other because we don't know what we're going through or how our day has been. They talked about life and church and art, Eric's young son. And after the meal was over with, Eric walked her to his car. Got on Facebook or something and it went viral through just a simple meal. Amen. Church, let's do it. Don't be afraid. Step out of the boat. God begins the Bible with meals. He ends the Bible with meals. Jesus used meals, and we should too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for you to do a work in our hearts. First, let us know that you love us. Hallelujah. You want to eat with us. If we were the only one, you would have still died for us, and you would still share the meal with us. Thank you. Lord, we receive that you love us, you value us, you want us. And then, Lord, not only do you want us, you want every single solitary person. You have written the law in their hearts. You have sent the Spirit out into all the world. You have counted the hairs on their head and knitted them together in their mother's womb. Help us, Lord. And please, if you've never asked Jesus to kind of sit down and have a meal with you, take it by faith and say, Lord Jesus, yeah, come into my life. Sit down with me. Help me to be at the table with you and to hear you. I trust you. I accept your forgiveness for me. Help me now to walk with you, get baptized, follow you in every area of my life.
You know, and if you're praying that for the first time, please reach out to us. If you're praying it here, maybe just raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor Ken, pray for me. I want Jesus to be eating with me. And at the bottom of your sheet, and you just keep your eyes closed if you want, but there's ways, simple steps to harder ones. And I really encourage you to say, yes, Lord, help me to do this, to start taking bread too. Maybe it's somebody in need or just a friend who you know would appreciate it. Or on special occasions or randomly, I'll start taking snacks or cookies too. Or maybe, okay, this week, Lord, I'll buy a tray of cookies. A little harder. I'll start eating with that coworker. Even harder, maybe. I'll dine out. I'll order in. I'll have a meal. Or taking in the cookies to the church visitors. Lord, we don't want to build our lives on excuses because we know eventually they melt away. Help us to build it solidly on your word. In Jesus' name, for your honor, for your glory, and for the salvation of our friends and neighbors and coworkers. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen, amen. Love you, church. How were those cookies, huh? They weren't homemade, but boy, they are good. If you want prayer, Jeff and Veronica, if you would come on up and let's sing to our Lord who loves us, wants to eat with us. Stand with me.